Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, you are in for a real treat. I am interviewing Dr. Nicole Byers on how overwhelm, stress, and a long to-do list can impact our brain health and productivity. Now, if you're anything like me and you would like to be productive, organized, be able to concentrate really easily, then this is a fantastic episode to tune into. Dr. Nicole Byers is a neuropsychologist. She's also the host of the Bold Life podcast, an online educator, and of course, a chocolate enthusiast. Her passion is to help women overcome the mental barriers that leave them stuck in self-doubt so they can stop worrying what everybody else is thinking and build up the confidence to speak up, stop hesitating, and take action towards their goals. She has a PhD in clinical psychology. She is an adjunct research assistant professor at the University of Calgary, and she's published many articles in professional journals around the world on brain health. So let's tune in and hear some of the amazing things we can do to help our brains and our brain health. Hi, I'm Kate Boyle, and welcome to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health. Hi, Nicole, and welcome to the Mind Movement Health podcast. I am super excited to have you on today to talk about brain health and specifically how we can stop the overwhelm and the stress in affecting our brain health and how we can increase our productivity. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here too.
I think just talking about brain health, it's really become, I think, more mainstream, you know, in the last few years. A few more people have sort of, you know, started to think about brain health and that. So can you share with us a little bit about what you do and how you sort of began your health journey to into this sort of section of health?
Sure. So formally, I'm what's called a neuropsychologist, which is really just a fancy word for a psychologist who studies brain health. Kind of got into this area in a roundabout way. Like a lot of people, I went to university, had no idea what I wanted to do with my life, but I've always been interested in, you know, why we do the things that we do, kind of what makes us tick as people, and really why some of us are more successful than others. So thankfully, I ended up taking an introductory neuroscience class. I was like, oh my gosh, brains are amazing. This is so interesting. I have to learn more about this. And then kind of started through graduate school and my residency training to really specialize in, you know, brain health and how changes in our brains can impact our behavior and the things that we do.
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating topic. And I think with more and more coming through on health and even the brain gut connection and all that research coming through, that it's a really fascinating and developing field as well. So I am super excited to have you to share with our listeners more about that. So if you had to sum up what brain health is, how would you describe it?
Yeah, great question. So really, when I think of brain health, I think of, is your brain doing what it's supposed to be doing? So at, you know, more basic level, are you breathing? Is your heart beating? Are you staying awake? All the way up to more complex tasks like concentration, memory, problem solving, and different things in our lives can impact our health in these different areas and how efficiently our brains are working.
Yeah. And what would you say are the bigger things that tend to impact our brain health?
Yeah. So, you know, right back to the basics, really anything that's important for your body, for your physical health is going to be important for your brain health. So things like getting enough sleep. Our brains really don't do a great job when we haven't had enough sleep. We've probably all had those experiences, right? You know, you have a bad night's sleep, maybe you're up with your kids or you got something going on and the next morning you're not feeling your best. You're probably physically not feeling great, but also mentally you're not in top shape. I know something that I noticed right away when my sleep has been impacted is that I start to stumble over my words. I'm not saying the things that I want to say kind of words are all coming out funny, or I'm saying the wrong thing, or my thinking just doesn't feel quite as sharp. So even starting with limited resources, like not getting enough sleep, can really impact our brain health.
Yeah. And what about food? How big a, you know, impact does food have on our brain health?
Yeah, super good question. A big impact. So our brains use up to 20% of our resources that our bodies take in. So if we're not getting adequate nutrition, our brains are going to be running low. It's just like starting at a deficit if we're not getting enough sleep. If I'm not fueling my body, my brain's not getting the energy, the nutrients that it needs to keep going throughout the day. And that can really impact how we're doing. Even in the kind of the most extreme cases, as you know, certain vitamin deficiencies can cause significant impairment in thinking skills, things that almost look like a dementia because folks can be so deficient in these nutrients.
That's, yeah, fascinating stuff. And I guess, can you share, you know, your take on breakfast? And is it something that we should be having to get us sort of switched on and concentrating for the day? Or when it comes to brain health, it's not that big a deal?
So eating regularly throughout the day is definitely important. I think breakfast is a great strategy. It doesn't have to be something big. And not only for getting your brain kind of active, getting your metabolism up and going, but I like breakfast because it gets your brain into a routine, right? So if I get up and I have breakfast at the same time every day, that's kind of cueing my brain that, okay, I'm going to get up, I'm going to get going. Here's my thing that gets me started. For me, I have the same breakfast every day. I eat Cheerios every day. I have for like 20 years, maybe probably more than that, probably more like 30 years at this point. But you know, it's one of those things that I get into my regular routine that helps me get started. And we know that our brains love routine. So even something as simple as getting up and having a, you know, healthy small bit of breakfast in the morning can be part of that routine to get you going.
Oh, well, I was just going to ask how, you know, does our brain really like routines? So you just answered that. So that's interesting too, because I guess I would think even with the Pilates that I teach and some of the older people I teach, sometimes adapting to new concepts and things can be difficult. Does that have any interplay with routines and things for the brain, or how does the brain sort of adapt to learn new things?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. On one hand, our brains are really good at learning. They're learning machines. They love to learn. But on the other hand, they really don't like change, right? Your brain likes to keep things as consistent as possible. And sometimes how I like to describe this is, you know, our brains only have so many mental resources. And so anything that deviates from my routine, anything extra that I throw in to the day pulls those mental resources. Even something like if I get up and I run out of my normal breakfast food, that's one more decision that my brain has to make. Okay, now I don't have materials here that I love to eat every day. What am I going to do about it? And the more that we have those breaks in our routine, the more that we have to think about and decide throughout the day, the harder it is for our brains, the more likely we are to feel tired and burnt out by the end of the day.
Oh, okay. So when we come back to the topic of stress and overwhelm, I assume then that that's going to cause us to have to make more decisions and maybe, you know, feel stress making those decisions. So the decisions are harder to make. So that's going to affect our brain health as well.
Totally. Yeah, that's absolutely right. So again, when we think about how many resources your brain has, if I am struggling with stress, if I'm struggling with pressure, whether it's, you know, things that are going on day to day for me, stuff at home, stuff with my family, stuff at work, all of those stresses take away brain resources. Even if it's not something that's right on the front of your mind, so you're not worrying about it all day, still in the back of our mind, right? We really aren't very good at letting those things go. So if I'm thinking about a work project that I need to get done, it's on the back of my mind. It's pulling my attention away from what I'm doing. It's using up those brain resources. If I had a fight with my spouse before I went into work today, again, pulling my resources away, starting at a deficit, making it harder to do those tasks I need to get done.
Yeah. So in saying that, you've mentioned that routines are obviously great to sort of help our brain health. But if we're trying to sort of overcome the effects of maybe stress and overwhelm, what are some other things we can do to sort of help our brain health in that area?
Yeah. You know, going right back to sleep, keeping your body healthy is a great place to start. It might sound simple. You know, we say get 7 to 9 hours of sleep, but it's actually really hard. Most of us don't get that recommended amount of sleep, right? Or if we're maybe we're laying in bed for 8 or 9 hours, but we're not sleeping the whole time, right? You're laying there, you're watching TV, you're reading, you're checking your phone, you're laying there for a long time before you go to bed. So if we're wanting to save those resources for the things that matter, starting with a full cup is a really great strategy. So making sure we're getting 7 to 9 hours of nightly sleep, making sure you're getting all the nutrients, all the food that your body needs, eating regularly throughout the day, keeping to a consistent eating schedule, really great. And then, you know, when it comes to stress specifically, there are definitely some strategies that we can try to help reduce how much that stress is pulling from our brains. Couple that I really like to do myself are to do some kind of mental exercises, some relaxation type strategies to help clear my mind of that stress. For me, I feel stress really hard in my body. That's just how I experience stress. I know a lot of us do. I notice that I'm tense, that I'm stressed. Totally. Yeah. Up through our shoulders. My shoulders are creeping up to my ears, my jaws clenched. I'm getting headaches. Those are all really good signs for me that I'm, you know, taking on too much. I'm under stress. And so whatever we can do to reduce that brain's stress response is going to free up those resources. Like I said, I like to do some kind of mental training, relaxation exercises, even something as simple as sitting in a quiet place for 5 minutes. I, you know, actively concentrate on relaxing my shoulders, dropping them down as low as I can. If you are someone who enjoys yoga, Pilates, other activities like that, that incorporate some of those components as well, really great strategies as well for reducing that body stress response, frees up more resources for your brain.
Yeah, for sure. I know when I have clients come in for classes, you know, as a Pilates instructor, we can tell as soon as they walk in the door, just the way they're carrying themselves with their posture, where if they have one, if they have stress, and two, where they're carrying it. So we might even just spend some time just on breathing. So just taking that time to really focus on their breath and de-stress and use some massage balls and release techniques for the body as well. So yes, we definitely use those in our classes. So it's great that you're sharing them for our brain health as well.
Yeah. Now, okay. Sorry, I was going to say, I bet you probably notice with your clients as well. I know I notice this, is that sometimes we're really bad at recognizing where we hold stress, and it'll take someone else like you or another care provider to say like, oh my gosh, like, do you see that tension? Right. And because it's so normal for us, like I'm always tense, my shoulders are always up, we really don't recognize it. So it can be so helpful to have that external person to point that out.
Yeah. And even with myself, like I just had a myotherapy session yesterday and I went in thinking, oh, I feel pretty good, but it's only when I stop and stand still and I know somebody is looking at me that I then go, oh, actually, this is tight and this is tight and I feel slightly rotated, but I didn't notice that until I've gotten to this point. So sometimes just stopping and having to sort of analyze it yourself will, you know, having somebody look at you kind of makes you go, yeah, that is actually tight. So I think it happens to the best of us as well.
Yeah.
Now, moving into productivity, because I know, you know what I mean, everybody likes to be productive. And one of the things that, you know, I tend to do, and I'm sure a lot of people do, is write to-do lists. And maybe they're on post-it notes, or maybe, you know, they're set out in a daily task sort of thing. But are making lists and to-do lists good for our brain or not so good?
Yeah, a little bit of both. Depends how they're used, really. So I am also a huge fan of to-do lists. And I think they can be really helpful for our brains and for our productivity. Even again, if we think about mental resources. So if I'm keeping all this stuff that I need to get done in my mind, if I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta, you know, stop and pick up this, or I gotta stop and help the kids with this, or I gotta get these projects done, all of that is taking resources away from my brain. So using a physical to-do list, sitting down, writing out all of those things that you need to get done, is a great way to kind of brain dump, get that stuff out of your mind, free up resources. It's a great way to stay organized. It really is tough to keep all that information in our brains at the same time. Even something as simple as trying to keep track of a grocery list. I know we've all had this happen before, right? You're like, I only need to remember these three things. It's like milk, eggs, bread. And you go to the grocery store and you come back with 10 things and you still don't have eggs. And you're like, oh my gosh, like, how did I forget this? Right. But it really is tough for our brains to keep track of all that information, especially when there's distractions, things going on. So to-do lists can be great for organizing in that way. The trouble. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say on that, I think one of the questions I have is we have so many tools at our disposal nowadays. So we have our phones, we can write so many to-do lists. We don't have to remember phone numbers because they're all in the phone. Are these things that we're now not trying to remember a good thing for our brain health, or should we still be trying to exercise our brain in maybe in different ways, but in similar ways? Maybe not trying to remember a phone number, but, you know, trying to do memory games or something.
Yeah, it's absolutely important to keep our brains active. And you're right, our brains and how we process information is changing with all the new technology that we have. So there's, you know, research on things like, we're not as good at remembering facts as we used to be because we can just quickly look it up, right? How many times have you're arguing with someone about who's right about this actor and you're like, well, I'm just going to Google it, right? And you look it up. So we don't actually need to remember the stuff anymore because it's right there, right at hand. But at the same time, that also means that we have a lot more resources available for more complex thinking. So maybe I'm not spending so much of my time remembering these facts and information, but I'm thinking about, you know, how to use that information in my daily life or how to incorporate that into my job and those more critical thinking type of skills. But yes, definitely important to keep our brains active. Really, anything that is challenging for your brain is good for your brain. Things like, you know, reading, hobbies, keeping socially active, all these things are really great for an active brain.
Yeah. And in relation to multitasking, and I know there's research on there that females tend to do a lot more multitasking than males. Is multitasking great for our brain, or is it kind of just convoluting everything?
Yeah, it's not great for our brains. It is definitely not. And so the problem with multitasking is we actually can't really multitask. What we do is we switch back and forth between two tasks really fast. So if I'm trying to answer an email and I'm trying to listen to someone talking at the same time, my brain is going back and forth from that conversation to that email, and it's not really focusing well on either task. And we know when we're trying to do this, we're trying to divide our attention like that, it reduces our efficiency, it reduces our accuracy, and it reduces our productivity as well.
Okay, well, that's a definitive answer. I hope everyone's listening now. All those mums out there that are trying to cook dinner, help with the homework, and do 50 things at once.
Yeah.
Can sort of take that on board. Because I know, do you know what I mean? Sometimes you're just in situations where you kind of have to juggle and multitask. But yes, I guess if we can try to limit that, then it's going to be better for our brain health, obviously.
Totally. And some things it's, you know, we're better at doing kind of two things at once. So if you're doing something that's pretty easy, like I always give driving as the example, say you're driving to work or a place that you go all the time, it's pretty automatic for our brains. It doesn't really take a lot of resources to drive to my best friend's house or to my work. You know, we probably all had that experience where you get to work and you don't even really remember the drive because you're just in like autopilot. Right.
That's a scary thing sometimes because you kind of catch yourself and you think, I've just done this on automatic. Like, you know, so sometimes I find that a bit scary.
Yeah. The good news is your brain is pretty good at jumping in if something did happen. So you're on autopilot because nothing happened on the way to work. Right. But if something jumps out at you, your brain's going to jump in and react, which is a good thing.
Good to know.
So, you know, we're driving to work. Like I can have the radio on, I can be listening to it. It's pretty easy. But if I'm trying to go somewhere new, if I'm looking for a new building or a new store I've never been to before, most of us will do things like turn down the radio or ask people in the car to be quiet, right? In those situations, it's harder to multitask because we're trying to do a more complex skill.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that because a few clients were actually saying the other day, I always have to turn down the radio to find a new place. And they were like, yeah, of course, that's just a given. So it's very interesting you brought that up because obviously quite a few people do that as well. But yeah, it's minimizing distraction, I guess, too. So
exactly,
focusing in on that one thing. Now, can you give us some tips on productivity? So if we're obviously going to be cutting out our multitasking where we can, but what else, you know, if we really got to focus and say we've got maybe only an hour or, you know, your child's gone down for sleep, so we've got 45 minutes to an hour to really, you know, kick out some work or get some jobs done. What are some things we can do to sort of help with that productivity?
Yeah. So keep in mind that your brain is going to be most efficient. You're going to be most efficient in a situation with minimal distractions where you're not having to multitask like that. So a quiet place, if you can turn off the television, turn off the radio, if your kids are down sleeping, that's great. Getting rid of those distractions, getting rid of visual distractions too. If I'm sitting at, you know, my coffee table at home trying to get some work done and I can see like piles of laundry over here and all these chores I need to get done, that is really distracting and makes it hard to stay focused on the task that I want to do. So working in a quiet place, both visually and in terms of what you can hear, getting rid of those distractions is a great strategy. And then maybe we can come back to to-do lists a little bit. I got a bit off track there when you asked me
about those.
It's okay. That's okay. But you know, the trouble with to-do lists, you know, we talked about how great they can be and how helpful they can be for organizing is that for a lot of us, our to-do lists get out of control. So we have these lists, we set down for the day and I write out these 20 things that I want to get done today. And then at the end of the day, I've gotten 5 things checked off that list and I feel horrible, right? I feel like, oh my gosh, what did I do all day? I didn't get anything done. But maybe those 5 things really were a lot of stuff to get done in that day. And so often we have this overly ambitious view of what we're actually going to get done when we only have an hour to do things. And starting ourselves on that, you know, really high expectations of I'm going to get these 20 things done is really unfortunately just setting us up for failure, which can lead to more stress, which we know is bad for our brain health, is bad for our productivity. So narrowing down that to-do list. And what I always recommend is taking a look at your to-do list and identifying the 1 to 3 things that are going to make the most difference in your life. So say right now for me, you know, building my business is a priority for me. So I'm going to take a look at my list and figure out what are those 3 things that are going to help me build my business. Okay, maybe it'd be great if I got the laundry done, but that's probably not the best use of my time right now. Or maybe right now, you know, getting my house clean is a priority. Maybe something's coming up, right, that I need to have it clean for. So that is my priority today. And being honest with ourselves about, okay, here's the limited time I have. Here's what my goal is going to be. Can I realistically get this done within the hour, and then not beating ourselves up when we don't get more than that done?
Yeah, I think there's some great tips, and especially the just giving yourself some grace that if you don't get it done, because I often find something always comes up. Like you might set that time aside to do these 3 tasks, but something, you know, a phone call comes in, you know, it's your mom and you think, well, I better answer it because you just don't know. And then that chews up more of your time than you thought. And, you know, you only get 2 things checked off instead of the 3. So I think definitely giving yourself some grace is a good tip as well. Now, you kind of touched on it, but how much does organization affect our brain health? So if we're somebody that's sort of not very organized and like things tend to be a mess, or your desk does tend to be a mess, is that going to affect our productivity and our brain health as well?
Yeah, it definitely is going to affect our productivity. And I know some people, you know, work better in different types of environments, and that's totally true. Some of us just tend to be a bit messier. Some of us are like me and like, I don't like anything on my desk other than what I'm working on because it's a huge distraction for me. But in general, all that stuff is a distraction for your brain, which is going to make it harder to focus. And even thinking about, you know, how many decisions we have to make every day and how many resources our brain has. If I, you know, don't have my schedule very organized, if I'm always kind of flying by the seat of my pants, figuring things out on the go, all of those little decisions take up brain resources. If I'm having to sit down every few minutes and figure out what I want to do next, that's going to use up a lot of my decision-making power. It's going to lead to, you know, burnout, fatigue, and some stress by the end of the day.
Yeah. Another interesting, I had heard before that high executives often wear the same thing for work every day to limit. So, you know, they've got 5 shirts and 5 suits and 5 ties, and they just rotate between them so that it's a no-brainer when they get up just to put on, they don't have to make decisions about, you know, am I going to wear this color or that? It's just there and they do it. So yeah, it's interesting that you've sort of, you know, reinforced that other piece of information that I learnt. So
yeah. Absolutely. And those decisions might seem small. Like, what am I going to wear today? Maybe it seems like a small decision, but when you're making 10, 20, 50, 100 of those small decisions throughout the day, they can really add up, right? So even if you're not a person that loves organization, even if you're not someone who loves being super structured, finding those small ways to reduce those decisions that you have to make, even if it's something like wearing the same thing every day or having Cheerios for breakfast every day for 30 years, like I do, like that's one less decision I have to make every day.
That's it. And if you like it, then why not?
Yeah, Cheerios are delicious.
And I have to ask about dementia and Alzheimer's, because I do, you know, it has become a lot more prevalent, you know, in the society, and there's more cases and everything. So are there things that we can do that can help us sort of, you know, prevent going down that path?
Yeah, again, anything that's good for your body is going to be good for your brain in terms of preventing dementia. So we know some risk factors for different types of dementia are things like having a history of high blood pressure, high cholesterol, being physically out of shape and overweight, history of stroke or heart disease. All of these things can increase our risk of developing an Alzheimer's disease or some other types of dementia. So keeping our body in good physical shape also keeps our brain in good physical shape. And then we also know that keeping our brains physically, mentally, I guess, active is a really great strategy in terms of reducing our risk of having significant decline in our thinking skills later on in life. So continuing with hobbies throughout our life, recreational reading, enjoying reading books, reading articles, all these things are great for our brain. And also staying involved socially. We know that individuals who have strong social supports, strong social connections, tend to live longer than other folks. So having those social supports, having those people that you can talk to and spend time with and do the things that you enjoy doing is really great for our brain health.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as you know, as you get older, do you know what I mean? You can sort of tend to drift apart from family. Maybe you didn't have kids, or maybe your kids have grown up and they've moved away. So I think COVID kind of highlighted that a lot for everybody. It was a lot more FaceTiming and phone calls and reaching out, because everybody sort of found themselves more isolated than they usually were probably used to anyway.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to sort of switch topics, because I know you have your own podcast called The Bold Life. So can you share a little bit about your podcast and how that came to be as well?
Yeah. So yeah, good question. Interesting story. It's a little bit different than most of the clinical work that I do. And really I started kind of that area of my life and my podcast and some of the, you know, resources I offer, because I was seeing a lot of women, especially moms, who working moms, struggling to balance everything, struggling to feel like I'm doing a good job as a mom, but also maintaining my career, and really just feeling overwhelmed and burnt out at the end of the day. And, you know, I would see a lot of these individuals, sometimes it ended up coming through my practice, because they were feeling so overwhelmed that it was reducing their thinking efficiency. And they're saying, I can't even remember anything anymore. I can't concentrate on anything. And then, you know, when I talk to folks about what their days look like, they would tell me about, you know, I get up and I get my four kids ready and I get everyone dressed and I get their teeth brushed and I make lunches and I get them out the door and this and this and this and this. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, holy moly, no wonder your brain's not working. Yeah, raise our hands,
like,
right?
My day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And as moms, it's amazing. It's amazing that we can do these things, but so often we put everyone else before ourselves. And unfortunately that can lead to a lot of burnout and overwhelm. And, you know, something I always say is we can't save the world when we're burnt out. I can't be the best mom, the best caregiver, the best business owner that I can be if I'm not taking care of myself. And so I started the podcast to offer some strategies for moms, but for other folks as well too, on how to manage this burnout, how to increase confidence, how to increase productivity so we can get more done during the day without getting to that point of feeling overwhelmed and exhausted.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. As a mum that runs her own business and in COVID decided to start a podcast, yeah. As well, finding the balance is hard. And it's taken even me, you know, a number of years, and every year it changes, you know, the kids' schedule changes, you know, whether or not, you know, I've had one in kinder this year and one at school next year, I'm going to have both at school. So I think it's learning to adapt and knowing that changing is okay, not trying to just sort of stick to the one thing that you've always had to. So, but I definitely find it's like ebbs and flows, and trying to carve out some self-care time can definitely be helpful to fill up my cup so then I can help everybody else.
Definitely.
I think we all hear that. And I think as mums and, you know, mums and women, we always hear that, but trying to actually do that is two different things. So
totally. Yeah, I totally agree. And that's right. It's not enough just to know that, right? We all know what we need to do, but finding ways to actually implement that in our own lives and get that started is the tough part.
Yes, for sure. Now, if you could give just one tip on brain health that our listeners could take away and, in, you know, just put into practice today, what would it be?
I would say keep in mind that you only have so many mental resources. So anything that you can do to maximize those resources is going to be helpful. Even those simple things we talked about, like scheduling and reducing those decisions and keeping your body healthy, really great in terms of filling up that cup and keeping those resources at max.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Nicole, for coming on. Can you share with us all your details so listeners can reach out and even, you know, your podcast too, so they can listen in?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably best way to find me is on my website. It's just drnicolebyers.com. Links to my podcast, The Bold Life, there as well. Like I said, I have some free resources as well up on my website, including a fun quiz that I put together. It's called What's Your Stress Personality? So you take the quiz and you find out kind of your unique approach to handling stress. And then I give some practical strategies that you can use day to day based on your unique style to help, you know, boost productivity, reduce stress and overwhelm, and really just get more done.
Well, that's amazing. Well, thank you very much. I will definitely link that all up in the show notes as well, so listeners can head there as well. But thank you for sharing all that information with us today. It's definitely been super enlightening, and I'm sure the listeners have enjoyed it as well.
Thanks again.
Thanks for listening into the podcast. Please hit subscribe to be updated for each time we release a new podcast.